I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Pray America great again. I repeat, pray America great again. Terry and Jesse show, full contact Catholicism, no shadow boxing here. This is the Lord's gym. I am the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of our Lady.
And I'm Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Lebanese lover of our Lady, and I'm reporting for duty, sir!
Sir! Our program is not right versus left, it's right versus wrong, and this is where Catholicism and the world intersect.
Yep.
Terry, we always start off with some soul food.
You got it, buddy. You know why we do that, Jesse? Do you know why? You do, and I'm going to tell our new listeners why we do that. Because ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And so we take the gospel normally right from the daily readings of Holy Mass. And Jesse, we're at the end. You know what? We're going to have a new year, a liturgical year on Sunday. We start Advent. So all these readings we've been going to are all talking about the end times. Now, we have the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 12 to 19. Would you please read it, proclaim it, brother?
Absolutely. Luke, chapter 21, 12 to 19, today's Holy Gospel. The word gospel means good news. It reads, Jesus said to the crowd, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This reminds me of a priest that we interviewed, Father Zachariah Botros.
Oh, I loved him.
Yeah, he wrote a book. It's called Defying Death, Zachariah Botros, Apostle to Islam. It's right here.
Yep.
Here's what he says. I mean, he lived this gospel. In an interview, he says, when we asked him about, tell us your personal story, he said this, quote, I am a Copt. In my early 20s, I became a priest. Of course, in predominantly Muslim Egypt, Christians are priests. Otherwise, do not talk about religion with Muslims. My older brother, a passionate Christian, learned that lesson too late. After preaching to Muslims, he was eventually ambushed by Muslims who cut out his tongue and murdered him.
Yep.
I was far from being deterred or hating Muslims. I eventually felt more compelled to share the good news with them. Naturally, this created many problems. I was constantly harassed, threatened, and eventually imprisoned and tortured for 1 year simply for preaching to Muslims. Egyptian officials charged me with abetting apostasy, that is, for being responsible for the conversion of Muslims to Christianity. Another time I was arrested while aboard a plane out of Egypt. Eventually, however, I managed to flee my native country and resided for a time in Australia and England. Anyway, this is my life story, Terry and Jesse.
Jesse, let me add one more story to Father Zachariah Boutros. I met him at an airport by chance, by God's providence. I'll never forget that. But one thing he did say when he was 14 years old, he told me that when the Muslim terrorist killed his brother, the Bible that his brother was carrying fell to the ground. And at age 14, he picked it up. And the terrorist said, are you... going, he basically challenged and said, you want to stay Christian or do you want to become a Muslim? And because if you want to be a Muslim, you will have life. But if you don't, we're going to kill you. And at age 14, Jesse, he said, you can't send me anywhere that God isn't. He was quoting the fathers of the church.
Yeah, exactly.
And so here's the point, Jess. They hit him with the gun in his face, knocked him out. They didn't kill him, and he ends up becoming a Catholic, a Coptic priest in Egypt, and he's been instrumental in bringing millions of Muslims to Christianity. So I would just say he's like 87 years old now, and we were very blessed to have him on several times on our show. If people want to get a copy of his whole teachings on how to evangelize Muslims, call 877-526-2151. We have like about 3 or 4 hours of Father Zechariah teaching you how to evangelize Muslims to bring them the fullness of the faith.
I just wanted to share that story because of today's reading. I mean, I couldn't think of a more appropriate person to profile in today's reading. Terry, another bit of good news is a lot of Catholics went out there to protest against the Black Mass that was held over the weekend at the Houston Brash Brewery Company.
Yeah.
When the local Church of Satan out there.
Hey, Jesse, can I interrupt you, brother? Because I do want to say one more thing about the gospel that I think is really important.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then we'll get to Sheen and then to that thing. But here's what I want to say. The last words that you read, be perseverant, you will secure, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Jess, when we get knocked down, I only have one question. Did you get up? And
That's right.
Now, folks, as your spiritual fitness trainers, we're here to tell you we're all going to fall. We all sin. I mean, there's nobody that doesn't sin unless you're the Blessed Mother. So when you sin and you fall, we're here to tell you, get up and persevere, because that's how you're going to make it to heaven. You're not going to make it to heaven by giving up, Jess. That's the message I got out of that gospel.
Yep. Terry, the only thing I want to say is I want just to give kudos, tip my hat.
Oh, yeah,
and,
man.
And say thank you to all the Catholics out there that went to make reparation for the blasphemy that was committed in Houston, Texas at that brewery. God bless all those Catholics out there that went out there. I know TFP was out there in numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Guadalupe Radio, Joe McLean was out, led a lot of people out there from Guadalupe Radio. You had Church Militant was doing reparation prayers over from Michigan. There was a lot of churches in Houston that were doing holy hours at the time of the Black Mass.
Yeah.
So people were fighting back with the truth, and it looks like their event turned out to be a big dud.
Yeah, and, you know, Jesse, again, that's the role of the laity. We took action. We didn't say, you know, one of the things I want to say is evil abounds when good people do nothing. You see, right there, good people didn't do nothing. They went out to the streets and prayed. They went into their churches and prayed and make reparation. So I got to give them kudos to that. And again, what is that message to us? Don't sit back and let evil move forward. Right now, we're in a culture that acts like God doesn't exist.
So what about Blessed Fulton Sheen?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Bishop Sheen, bring him in that train. Hey. Okay, well, Jesse, what he's saying is fits exactly what we're talking about right now. I didn't get the train, but that's all right. He can come on a bus today.
That's right.
He says, we can lose our soul. There. Full Sheen ahead. That train came in a little late, but that's all right. Here's what he said, Jess. It fits exactly the theme of what we were just talking about. We can lose our souls not only by doing evil, check this out, but also by neglecting the good. Sins of omission is what our catechism calls that, Jess. When we don't do the right, we sin when we don't do the right thing that we should be doing by sitting on our hands. And to be honest with you, Jess, there's a lot of sins of omission, objectively, looking at our culture right now, where Christians are just saying, oh, well, let me go watch my boxing match. Let me go watch the football game. I don't want to have to deal with praying my rosary, making reparations. No, that's not. They do what they want to do, and I'll do what I want to do. That's a sin of omission.
Yep, that's not Catholic thinking. And I'll tell you, Terry, I was talking to Kyle Clement this morning, who's an expert on exorcism. He teaches. He's an instructor of exorcism in this country. And he says that the biggest reason, it segues into what you said, the biggest reason why people get possessed by the diabolical is because they don't know their faith. He said, Jess, if people knew their Catholic faith,
you got it,
that would be the number one protection from the diabolical. And he says, he goes, just think about what the prophet Hosea said in chapter 4, verse 6. He said, my people are perishing for their lack of knowledge.
Well,
he said that was happening in the time of the Israelites, the Old Testament. That's happening right now as well. Catholics are falling to secular humanist thought. Catholics are even becoming, pagans and Satanists. I bet some of these Satanists, Terry, that had this Black Mass, I bet some of those guys were formerly baptized Catholics without a doubt.
Yes, he
and
did.
Why are they now serving the other side? Because they never knew their faith. As Hosea the prophet says, you perish when you don't know your faith.
Well said, Jesse. I guarantee it. Some of them are Catholics. That's how it works. Some of the most evil people on the planet, like Adolf Hitler, baptized Catholic.
Joseph Stalin.
You took the lift off my head, Jesse. Yeah. We know. That's why I think it's fair to say
Fidel
that.
Castro.
Hey, we got lots of people saying they want to hear podcasts of our shows. So if you go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, that's where you can get those podcasts. And listen to the shows. Also, I want to just remind people, I'm giving a gift away December 1st. It's not too late. What you do is go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sign up on our website, and I'm going to be sending you a Dr. Hahn PDF on apologetics. Yeah, I'm giving it out for free. You can go buy it, but you don't have to, because I'm giving it to you by just registering. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Jesse, what about your trip to Poland, brother?
Yeah, that's May 13th to the 22nd. If you want to sign up and hang out for 9 days in the most Catholic country in the world.
Sign me up.
What I would call Catholic Disneyland. Go to my website, jesseromero.com, jesseromero.com. And I would love to spend 9 days with you evangelizing, catechizing, giving you the history of this great country, some of their great kings, some of the great wars, some of the great churches and chapels. Some of the great devotion that came out of there, the devotion to the Divine Mercy, which is going to usher in the second coming of Christ. Poland plays a special part in end times prophecy.
Yep.
And I'll talk a little bit about that in the fourth segment.
Oh, I can't wait. Hey, don't forget, when we come back, we're going to talk about Franklin Graham. That's Billy Graham's son. He has a message to us Catholics that I think is a very biblical message. You won't want to miss it. And I think it's a message that resounds today in our culture. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial. Get yourself a cup of coffee. You're going to need it for the fourth segment.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the Merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
In the Old Testament, there's a phrase, the younger will teach the older. It reminds me, Terry, Protestants have an incomplete understanding of the gospel. They don't have the fullness of truth.
No, they don't have the sacraments, all of them.
Yeah, they don't have, I think the term used in the documents of Vatican II, they have a deficient religion. It's deficient. And yet, oftentimes Protestants, in many instances, seem to do more. They outdo us with an incomplete revelation of the gospel. They outdo Catholics who have the fullness of truth. What do I mean by that? Terry, can you tell the people what the
article says?
All right,
folks, sit down. Are you ready? Mr. Franklin Graham, he says he's urging Roman Catholic Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York to take a stand regarding abortion by excommunicating the Catholic, so-called Catholic Governor Andrew Cuomo. Now, I know we're broadcasting in his neck of the woods right now. Mr. Cuomo, call us. We'd like to have a conversation with you about your position. And what Franklin Graham is saying is that Cardinal Dolan is afraid to move on this issue of excommunication because he thinks that it'll cut the dialogue off between the governor and him. Okay, and that it'll be no good. But you see, here's a Protestant. He says, "Wait a minute, if you don't." What's going to happen is the message, and there's still Catholics today that I meet that think abortion is okay in certain cases. It's all right.
Yeah, Terry, they're confused because
no clarity.
Because these Catholic politicians are getting away with it, and so a lot of lay Catholics say, "Well, Terry, Jess,
take a stand, man.
I guess it's okay because Pelosi, Biden,
right,
Cuomo."
Yeah.
There's no repercussion, so I guess you can believe in abortion, Terry and Jesse.
Right. So the bottom line is General Graham, Billy Graham is asking the cardinal to make a stand on this and excommunicate him. If you don't think it's going to do any good, well, he says, hey, it's going to do a lot of good because it's going to make it clear that we believe that abortion is a moral evil. And everybody outside the governor and you are going to know that this is an evil, and so we won't do it. So my question would be, if the church loses its moral voice, then what's the use? It's about standing for right over wrong, good over evil. That sounds like our show, Jesse. That's what we do. This is not right versus left. It's right versus wrong, and abortion is wrong. So Dolan—
Yeah, this is not a political issue at all.
Right. Dolan has criticized Cuomo for his actions but said he doesn't want the conflict to continue. You know what I say, Jesse? That is a cop-out. That's like saying earlier in the show we talked about when good people do nothing, evil abounds. That Archbishop Dolan has a moral obligation. And he's waiting for a bald-headed old man on California to tell him, do your duty with clarity. Go and do what you need to do so that everybody knows that abortion is an evil and you need to stop it. Now, there's another bishop, Jesse, who said the same thing as Franklin Graham. You want to talk about Bishop Rick Seki?
Yeah, he's from Knoxville, yeah. And he said the same thing that Franklin Graham
Thank
did.
Thank you, Bishop.
Yeah, he says, Franklin Graham said, Terry.
What did he say?
I mean, Cuomo said, I don't govern as a Catholic, by the way. That's what he said in the article.
That's his cop-out, yeah.
Yeah.
He sure doesn't.
Yeah, he said, and basically that was Kennedy's line. Yep. All these Catholic politicians are using Kennedy's line. That's what he said. I don't govern as a Catholic. So, yeah, the bishop from Knoxville, Tennessee, Bishop Rick Sticka, he's definitely spoke out just like Franklin Graham. And he's saying that, you know, excommunication is to be not a
medicine.
Punishment, but to bring a person back into the church.
Exactly.
It's like medicine for them. And the bishop said, but this vote is so hideous, in other words, what Cuomo did in New York, and vile, that it warrants the act of excommunication. And Cardinal Dolan, he's declined to discuss whether he would withhold communion for Governor Cuomo. I doubt he will.
Oh, yeah.
And the leaders have condemned Cuomo's support of the reproductive act, which was described as barbarism by Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family.
Good man.
So we got some good Protestants that are speaking out, you know, with their understanding of the gospel. And here we have, they're asking, they're not even calling out. They're not blasting him or nothing. They're asking him like a friend to do his job as a bishop over one of his parishioners and to take a moral stand. That's what they're asking him to do. And as I read this article, Terry, I'll tell you what saddens me.
Tell me.
Is Governor Cuomo has dug his heels in.
Yep.
In other words, Terry, as I read the article, he has a hardened heart. You could see that he has like a heart of Pharaoh, the heart, you know, and that's dangerous to be like that.
Right.
And this whole thing about separation of church and state, by the way, just got to throw that in there. It's not a Catholic idea. In fact, when you read the encyclical that we just talked about yesterday or a few days ago,
yep,
on the kingship of Christ by Pope Pius XI, Quas Primas,
yep,
that whole encyclical, it goes against this idea of separation of church and state. That's not a Catholic idea. That's not an idea that comes from Catholic papal social teaching. Catholic papal social teaching says that we're supposed to usher in Christendom. We're supposed to make the whole world Christ's kingdom.
Yep.
And you have Catholic leaders like Cuomo, Pelosi, Biden, others. They have the power to implement, at least in their jurisdiction, Christendom by legislation. And many of them are just not doing it, Terry. And that's a scandal to the body of Christ.
Jesse, Cardinal Seurat, who's got the book called The Day Is Now Far Spent. I'm going to do a whole show Friday, live show on Friday on his book. But he is chiding the bishops for not speaking out. He says, many in the church no longer dare to teach the reality of salvation and eternal life. In homilies, there's a strange silence concerning the four last things. Preachers avoid speaking about original sin. Jesse, these are all the things you've been talking about with me on the radio. I'm serious. And Cardinal Seurat say, and he's telling the bishops, and he would tell Cardinal Dolan this, you're going to meet your maker soon, because I am too. I'm old. And I cringe, he said in the book, for you shepherds that have let the wolves in to devour the flock. And when you don't do your duty in protecting the flock by not excommunicating a guy like Cuomo, and that's what the Cardinal Seurat is saying, that we have to stop wanting to be liked and give people the gospel. Jesse, this is the same topic on homosexuality that many prelates, many priests, many lay people say, well, let them do what they want to do. But, you know, that's not love to let somebody wallow in their sins. And I say that again, that yep, why can't we have clarity from not just the priests, not just the cardinals, from everybody in the church to say, I love you so much, I'm going to tell you the truth. And maybe you might like it, maybe you might not. But you know what? At least I did my duty by loving you with the truth.
Terry, I'll tell you, this is many leaders in the church, even in Protestantism.
Yes.
They're calling this law in New York,
yeah,
infanticide. They're calling it barbarism.
Yep, and it is.
There's nothing less than barbarism. And I'll tell you what's scary about Cuomo and other Catholic politicians, Governor Cuomo, who use their power to go against the church's teachings. I'll tell you what's scary about that. There is a diabolical component to that. What do I mean by that? Father Gabriel Amorth, rest in peace, who'd passed away 3 years ago, he actually said in an interview, he says, quote, he says, everybody is vulnerable to the work of Satan. The devil loves to take over those who hold political office. Father Amorth says, evil exists in politics.
Wow.
Quite often, in fact, he says, the devil loves to take over business leaders and those who hold political office. Father Amorth says, Hitler and Stalin were classic examples. They were possessed. How do I know? Because they killed millions of innocent people. And the gospel says, by their fruits, you will know them. He says, unfortunately, an exorcism on them would not have been enough since they were convinced of what they were doing. And he goes on to say, the fact is that many people in politics and in business and in the business world, they are prime targets for the diabolical.
Well said. Man, I love that quote. Jesse, there's an old saying by Monsignor George Kelly, Battle for the American Church. Where's the church going where its leaders take them? And I don't mean to bring up somebody who's been dead for like 30 years, but Cardinal Cushing of Boston is the one that encouraged President Kennedy to basically look the other way about his Catholic faith. Mm. And you see, what he did, though, Jesse.
No doubt a modernist.
Exactly. Well, yeah, because if I'll go back a little bit more on him. I got the goods on him, unfortunately. We pray for his eternal salvation. Guess what, Jesse? When we had the contraception issue that was going on, he's the one who, after 25 years of the church fighting it in the New England area, do you remember when the case came up on birth control, he said finally to the church, let's just back off and let the secular people do what they're going to do and not fight this any longer. See, here's my point. Cardinal Cushing, have mercy on you because you didn't do your duty in defending the faith. And what happened, Jesse, is that bad example just went over to lay people. So that's why I'm calling the Cardinal now, Cardinal Dolan. Cardinal Dolan, we love you. We want you to get to heaven. We want you to lead other souls to heaven. But when you are not willing to speak up for the truth, then you know, people are going to say, hey, Terry, you're criticizing him. No, I'm loving him by saying, do the right thing, Cardinal, with all respect, because your salvation really is dependent on doing your duty. Like me, I have to do my duty. You have to do your duty, Jess Romero. Everyone does their duty according to what God would, his laws. But when we change God's laws and say we don't want to implement what Jesus Christ has taught, then we're dropping the ball. That's my take.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that this is so important, Terry. As Catholics, we have to know the Catechism says that we have the right to confront our sacred pastors,
right,
and give them our thoughts when we think
lovingly,
obviously, that they're going off the rails.
Amen.
And that actually, if you want to see, that's Canon 212. You're saying, well, yes. Jesse, Terry, you guys don't have the right to do that. Yeah, it's the Code of Canon Law, 1983 code. Yep. Canon 212 gives lay people the right to ask thoughtful questions and even offer correction to their sacred pastors if we believe that they're going off the rail. And if you want to see a classic example of that, read Galatians chapter 2, where Paul, a subordinate to Peter, and Paul admits he's a subordinate, he had to correct Peter for his hypocrisy in Galatians chapter 2. So there's a perfect example of a subordinate invoking his rights over a superior who, again, is needs correction, fraternal correction.
Well said. Jesse, when we come back, we're going to teach people what the angel taught the children at Fatima in regards to reparation. And I'm going to give you the story that happened to me, that I just prayed these prayers, and I would encourage you to do the same. So when we come back, the prayers of reparation taught by an angel to the children of Fatima. You might know them, but you might not. But I'm going to tell you, these prayers need to be said often in our church today. We'll be back with much, much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Don't turn that dial. Get another cup of coffee, some tea. You'll need it. We'll be right back.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, A portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're going to remind you about the angel of Fatima who appeared to three children, to whom our Blessed Mother would later appear during 1917. And the angel taught them a prayer. It's called an act of reparation.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what's interesting. We wonder, okay, how should I receive Holy Communion? How? Pretty simple, okay?
Reverence.
I would just take a look at what happened at Fatima. The angel, calling himself the Angel of Peace, held a chalice over which was a suspended sacred host, and drops of the precious blood of Jesus fell from the host into the chalice. The angel prostrated himself on the ground before the host and chalice and repeated the act of reparation three times. He then administered Holy Communion to the children, saying, "Eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Horribly outraged by ungrateful men, make reparation for their crimes and console our Lord." And then this angel taught them a prayer of reparation because of all the sacrileges, the blasphemies, and the sins that are committed against the Holy Eucharist. Terry, it's pretty interesting to me. How did they receive Holy Communion?
Oh, yeah.
They knelt down. They received it in their mouth from an angel.
Yep.
If that's good enough for the Fatima visionaries, it's good enough for me. Terry, what's the actual prayer that was taught to them?
This is a prayer that is so powerful, and I'm going to encourage our friends and families to do this prayer whenever you see some sacrilege at a church. It's most holy.
Every weekend.
Well, I hope it's not every weekend, but for many people you see it. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore you profoundly. I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ present in all the tabernacles of the world, and reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences by which he himself is offended, and by his infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. Jesse, this is the exact prayer that my wife and I prayed last Sunday. And you know, it's not every Sunday, but I, this first time I walked out in a long time, where the priest brought the kids up from confirmation to do the chicken dance on the altar in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I just couldn't handle that. That was just too much. So we knelt down and we said these prayers. Why? Because our Lord is offended. You know, folks, think about this at your parish. Maybe it's not at your parish, but the de-Eucharist that's going on that Bishop Sheen talked about in the 70s at the Eucharistic Congress, where we don't have reverence for the Blessed Sacrament. I'll give you an example of the fruit of that when Pew Research comes out and says, you know, maybe 2 out of 10 Catholics believe in the real presence. Why? Because we don't act like it. And I just think that we need to come back and get these prayers from Our Lady of Fatima and pray these prayers whenever you see a sacrilege. And I want to say a sacrilege is where you don't see reverence. Every time I see, like I see it often, I'll be honest with you, people go to the tabernacle like they're going to the bread box at home. They just open up the door and get the Blessed Sacrament and walk away. No reverence. So what do I always do with that? I pray the Fatima prayer. Because I act like, I say, well, maybe they don't know better, Jesse. Maybe they just haven't been taught to have reverence. But these things are going on every day, unfortunately, in the Catholic Church, and they need to stop.
Terry, if the angel prostrated himself on the ground before the sacred host and the precious blood, I mean, if that's how an angel reacts before the sacred host and the sacred chalice, why should we do anything less? Think about that. That's a good question. Why should we do anything less than what the angel showed us and the Fatima seers showed us? You know, I can tell you, people have told me that when they went, this one friend of mine told me recently.
I've been there myself, yeah.
This one friend told me recently that when he started making a choice to kneel in front of the tabernacle, genuflecting every time he passed by the tabernacle, he said when he was also felt in his heart that he had to start kneeling and receiving communion in the mouth instead of his hands. This guy told me, Terry, he says, it was the single most life-changing event that I've ever experienced.
Makes sense.
He says, it's like if all of a sudden my faith just increased in the real presence.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, he says, everything that I've heard about the real presence came true to me at that one point when I knelt down, put my hands together like a child, and received in my tongue. He says, everything just like downloaded. Everything I've ever learned about the real presence all of a sudden came alive to me at that moment. And I can tell you that one of these days, we as the world and as the church, we're going to go through a great chastisement. And to me, of all the sins in the world out there, sexual perversion, drugs, wars, you know, violence, unnecessary violence, of all the sins in the world that are going to merit the chastisement of God, in my opinion, the worst sins in the world are blasphemy and sacrilege, unworthy holy communions of Jesus Christ and the Blessed Sacrament. That's worse than anything else out there, because all those other sins are offenses against man. This sin is an offense against God himself. And in fact, St. Mother Teresa, she even said this, quote, whenever I go in the world, the thing that makes me the saddest is watching people receive communion in the hand.
Jesse, I'm just going to back you up on that. Cardinal Seurat talks about John Vianney, one of the great priests and evangelists in the church. Do you know where he did his best work? In front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's what he said. I do. I got more souls because of praying before the Blessed Sacrament than anything else. The little flower, right? She's the patron of the missions. She never left the convent to go be a missionary, right? She prayed before the Blessed Sacrament. I want to encourage all of us, and I'm included. This morning, I was in church, at 5 in the morning, making my holy hour. Why? Because I know that if I'm going to do the work that I'm doing, I need to have a profound spirituality. So a daily holy hour is part of my operation. Or you don't want to meet me if I can't get my holy hour and daily mass. And I want to encourage you, our listener, and this is your spiritual fitness trainer, at least once a week, make a daily holy hour. Now, if you're retired, hey man, report for duty every day, okay? Go to daily mass, okay? I'm serious, Jess. I'm telling you, you're retired. There's no excuse. Gentlemen, ladies, take my advice. The benefits are out of this world.
We need more prayer power. Yeah,
we do need it right now in the church.
Terry, here's another short reparation prayer. Yeah. It's another one. It's not as popular as the Fatima reparation prayer. This is a shorter one. It goes like this. May the heart of Jesus in the most blessed sacrament be praised, adored, and loved with grateful affection at every moment in all the tabernacles of the world. Even
it.
To the end of time. Amen. Again, that's another reparation prayer. And I'll be honest with you, Terry. I'm not going to kid you.
Yeah.
When I go to Holy Mass, I do both these reparation prayers, the Fatima one and the one that I just did right here.
Yeah.
When I go back to the pew, because undoubtedly, in the event that there's somebody in the church receiving communion unworthily in mortal sin, that's why I do that reparation prayer. And I also do those both reparation prayers every day, because somewhere in the world, I'm pretty sure there's some Satanist or some witch or somebody trying to profane the Blessed Sacrament in a Catholic church, or just some Catholic, you know, just like, for example, some pro-abortion politician that's receiving Holy Communion cavalierly on Sunday Mass. And so I think these reparation prayers should be prayed every day, because that's exactly what we want to do. Reparation means to repair the damage. There is damage being done.
That's right. Here's one more.
The mystical body of Christ.
Yep.
And we're trying through our prayers and sacrifices and penance repair the damage done to the justice of God.
One more act of reparation is at the consecration. I'm going to share my intimate prayer life with you, my folks, because I believe that it touched me. It should touch you. When the priest has the elevation of the host, what my prayer is, I believe, I adore, and I trust, and I ask pardon for those who do not adore, do not trust, and do not love thee. And that's a prayer that you can say right before you receive Holy Communion, because, Jesse, let's face it, if the statistics are right, people are receiving Holy Communion all the time, and they don't even know what they're receiving. I'll give you an example. I do a lot of funerals here at the chapel. I was trying to evangelize about 40 people who came to a funeral. They're all Hispanic. Sorry, Jess, all Hispanic. They didn't even know the parts of the Mass to respond at the Mass, and about 80% of them went to Holy Communion. And I just think, do they even know what they're doing? And I pray. So I just made prayers of reparation while I'm, because I go to a lot of funerals at the Sacred Heart Chapel. I got one coming Saturday. But when I see people who don't know, I look at it as an opportunity to share the gospel, but also make reparation. And I know you've been at funerals, Jesse, that you've seen some crazy things also. It's a great time to evangelize, but also make reparation.
Absolutely. Terry, here's one more as we're talking about this topic.
Yeah.
Our Lady of Akita, Japan,
oh, yeah,
told Sister Sasagawa to receive Holy Communion only on the tongue, never in the hand.
Right.
And so, again, I ask myself, if these apparitions, Fatima, Akita, Japan, they're worthy of belief, they've been approved by popes, by yep, all the popes,
right,
since the time we've had these apparitions. Our Lady has told us in two apparitions that are approved, one by example in Fatima and one by direct revelation of Our Lady to Sister Sasagawa to receive communion only on the tongue, never in the hand. So I don't know about you, Terry, but for me, that in my heart, that bears more weight than an indult given by the USCCB or even an indult given by the Vatican. Of course, the church has authority to teach, but my default position as a Catholic is, I don't know, this is when the Blessed Virgin Mary's been so clear about this in Our Lady of Fatima and Akita, Japan, that's good enough for me, and that's one of the reasons why I will not receive communion in the hand. I haven't for probably about 15 years. I only receive in the mouth as I learned these things through reading church history. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. We're going to talk about the Polish Archbishop who reaffirms Christ as King of Poland. Wow, I wish other countries would follow suit. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies. Featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum. Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross,
God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Two Catholic men reporting for duty under the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Under the patronage of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And here's a bit of good news. The Polish Archbishop reaffirms Christ as King of Poland.
Praise God.
They declared the government.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually.
Can you imagine?
It was the government 3 years ago that declared Jesus Christ as king. And 300 years ago, the Poland king also has declared Our Lady as Queen of Poland. But now, this week, the Poles have renewed their acceptance of Jesus Christ as King and Lord of Poland on the feast day of Christ the King at the Shrine of Divine Mercy in Krakow. And Poland plays an important part in eschatology, in end times events. I'll tell you why. Look at what the diary says in 1732 of Diary of St. Faustina. Mm-hmm. It says this, quote, St. Faustina writes, "As I was praying for Poland, I heard the words from God. I bear a special love for Poland, and if Poland will be obedient to my will, I will exalt her in might and holiness. From Poland will come forth the spark that will prepare the world for my final coming." Now, I don't know what that means, Terry, exactly. I'm just wondering if it means that that spark from Poland is the divine mercy proclaimed throughout the whole world before the second coming of Christ. But nonetheless, Poland plays in a very important part in the end times eschatology. And that's why I invite you to come with me to Poland.
Absolutely.
May 13th to the 22nd. Go to my website, jesseromero.com. The flyer's there. It's going to be a life-changing trip. And if you want to grow further in your faith, this is a trip to come to. We're going to have, by the way, the Latin Mass celebrated every day by a young Catholic priest, Father Arturo Bassan. Terry?
Jesse, I love what the prelate emphasizes. And this is so good. I wish we could pick up on this from Poland here in America. He says, he emphasizes that the Christian culture requires concrete deeds, including marital fidelity, premarital purity, love for others, and daily prayers. He added, I like this. You cannot think of true believers if they do not attend Sunday Mass. When here in America, it's probably down to 15, 18% of the people attend Mass. So we have more baptized Catholics that have left the church by not coming.
Oh, by far.
By far. Now, I like what they say here, too. According to a deep spiritual Christian culture is based on strong foundations and does not allow itself to be manipulated, adding it is incompatible with any ideology, including Nazism, Marxism, all these isms.
Now, and libertinism.
Libertinism. You know what that is? Being a liberal, okay? The church's task is to proclaim Christ and sanctify people, to lead people to salvation, he said. Thank you, Bishop. That's our line, too. It's because it's the church's line. The gospel is not a few dozen pages of printed paper, nor finite or exhausted thing, but it's growing in us. Jesse, he talks about secularization. It deprives us of a strong life foundation. He said it represents a departure from faith in God and the debarfation of transcendence as a justification for a good life. It separates conscience from everyday life. Jess, I'm going to turn it back to you, but Cardinal Seurat said the exact same thing in his book on how we're acting like God doesn't exist in our culture in the West.
that whole thing about secularization, acting like if, you know, just living for the weekend, you know, sex, drugs, and rock
God's
and roll.
God's out of the picture.
Yeah, there's another cardinal that spent 13 years in prison. I forget his name from Thailand. He also said that secularization is one of the biggest tools of Satan.
You know who that was? Cardinal Kai.
H-U-A-N?
No, that's another one. But Lawrence Kai, he came to my house because we were raising money for Thailand. He suffered under the communists, Jesse.
For 13 years.
Yes. And okay. He would go to the abortion clinic and pray the rosary with us back 25 years ago. He's gone now. He's got his eternal reward. But this was the kind of bishop I was like, wow. And he was just a little guy. He was smaller than me, Jesse. Mm. But I'll tell you what, when it came to the faith, he was a giant.
Yeah, well, he's the one that I read him in an article years ago where he said that that's the biggest weapon of the devil is secularization of our culture.
You got it.
The article says here about the Archbishop of Poland that he's alerted listeners to the organized attack being directed at the church and Catholic faith in Europe and Poland. And he also pointed to entire structures of evil, both moneyed foreign and Polish structures, attempting out to carry a comprehensive cultural, sexual, and educational revolution. He's talking about the attack right now in Poland is the whole LGBT movement.
Yep, they're pushing hard there.
Oh, they are because they know that Poland is such a Catholic
country.
They
got to knock it out.
They're saying we've taken out most of the countries in Europe. Yep. They've bought in hook, line, and sinker for the LGBT movement, the ideology, and they've got their sights set in Poland, no doubt. But there's also a very strong pushback.
Thank you.
The Poles and Catholic are fighting back. Most of the other countries have just caved in.
Oh, yeah.
He also says, Poland is not sleeping. The Archbishop said,
praise God.
The church in Poland is holding pastoral care of Christ.
Amen.
And he added this, the kingdom of Christ does not please Satan.
That's
he is
sure.
trying to bring his kingdom of lies, hatred, promiscuity, and sin. We Poles will not fight him by his methods or our forces. We will win him by the power of the cross of Christ.
Wow.
By the power of faith, strengthened by fasting, alms, prayer, and suffering and prayer. In difficult times, the Archbishop said, it is not right to stand idly by.
Yes.
Sounds like that British historian, you know, evil abounds when good men do nothing.
That's right, brother.
Terry, go ahead.
This is so inspirational. Cardinal Seurat saying exactly the same thing. I would encourage all bishops and shepherds, priests, to listen to this archbishop in Poland. This is what gives you the strength to speak the truth in charity. But, you know, Jess, I find again that we've compromised with our leadership many times because we are afraid to offend people with the gospel. And I mean that. This is what Cardinal Seurat was saying, the same thing. And so I just want to encourage our leaders as a layman, bishops, my pastors, please give us good leadership that says, the answer is Jesus Christ. It's not the Democratic Party. It's not the Republican Party. Jess, what's your line? It's the Lamb. Go ahead.
Yeah,
tell us.
Good. Don't lean on the donkey. Don't lean on the elephant. Lean on the Lamb.
Amen. Okay? Jesus Christ.
Yes, because both parties can let you down.
That's right.
But the Lamb will never let you down.
You got it. You got it.
But objectively speaking, I'll say this: one party will let you down a whole lot more.
And the way I tell people to do it: read the platform. Go to Priest for Life. They've got a really good summary of the platforms of each of the parties. Just do that because
on the issues.
It's real clear, you know, where the life issues are. Hey, Jesse, one more thing about your trip to Poland. I really want. I am going to miss you when you're gone. But tell me again what people are going to get when they go to these sacred places in Poland. Their faith has got to grow from this, but go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, again, Poland has had some of the most amazing saints in this century.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know, you know, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Blessed Edith Stein,
yep.
You got Saint Faustina,
yep.
Saint John Paul II. You have also in Poland, Terry, I mean, this is the only country that's proclaimed Christ as king, proclaimed Our Lady as queen of Poland.
Mm-hmm.
This country, the Polish bishops have openly denounced George Soros' funding campaign against the Catholic Church,
Good.
Trying to push homosexuality in Poland. You have the Polish prime minister who wants the total ban on abortion without exception. And the prime minister of Poland's son was just ordained a Catholic priest.
I love it.
So St. John Paul II is probably smiling. And also, Poland has been very clear with the Muslims.
Yeah.
They've said, hey, here in Poland, Jesus Christ is our king. Don't push the Quran here. Don't push Muhammad or Allah. Here, only Jesus Christ and the Bible reigns. The Poles are open about this. They're saying, we're not going to play the PC card. You also have, Terry, millions of Polish Christians who have prayed the rosary on the borders of Poland, commemorating their historical defeats against Islamic attacks in times past. I mean, talk about politically incorrect. And the Polish prime minister has also said very clearly that he wants Poland to have large families. He says, we can't have a strong country without strong families.
Makes sense.
And he celebrates large families in Poland. In fact, this country is so impressive that President Trump wants to put a military base in Poland, and the Polish president wants to call it Fort Trump. And it's a base to deter Russia in case Russia gets, gets froggy again like they did during World War II. Yeah, Terry, go to my website, and I'd love for you to come with me, get to know you, spend 9 days together in prayer.
Good.
Holy Mass, sacraments, lectures, Bible studies, and just praying in front of these shrines and becoming holier. And doing reparation prayers for ourselves, our family, and our church.
Jess, I want to get to the five stones, but I want to tell the people tomorrow on Thanksgiving, we're going to do a live show. It's not going to be pre-recorded. Jess and I both decided that tomorrow and Friday, we have some special material to give on Thanksgiving Day, so you won't want to miss it. Jess, the five stones of David, tell us about the solutions right now.
Okay, you all know who King David was. He gave Goliath the beat down in the book, in 1 Samuel. And so David, he used five stones that he took from a brook. He put them in a slingshot, and he rushed Goliath. All of us have a Goliath that we're fighting.
Yep.
One of them is Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
Just off the top of my head, you got the pornography industry. There's a lot of Goliaths out there.
Yep.
So what do we do as sons of David? Because Jesus is the true son of David par excellence. Number one, first stone. Pray the rosary every day. Pray it from your heart. Second stone, go to Mass as often as possible. And also, visit our Lord as often as possible. Commit yourself to at least a weekly holy hour. Number third stone, read the Bible every day. Read the Mass readings. And pray the prayer of Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:9. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Fourth stone, fasting. Penance on Fridays. Every Friday, do some form of penance. And if you want to go old school, jump in on Wednesdays and Fridays. Do penance. And the fifth stone, monthly confession. If you're in mortal sin, go as soon as you can. If you're in mortal sin, don't wait a whole 30 days. But if you're in a state of grace, it's good to go to monthly confession for a good checkup. And it's good to do an evening examination of conscience with an act of contrition to remit all your venial sins every night before you go to bed. Terry.
If you'd like to get the podcast of any of the shows that we have, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And Jesse, the final thing I say before Thanksgiving is, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Be in a right relationship with God. Don't live in a state of mortal sin.
Amen. And I want to thank all of you who have been listening, especially our Stations of the Cross listeners. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. This Thanksgiving, thank God for all the blessings, because tomorrow we have a special edition here at the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.